of your door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
is wherever you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Let's stop. Father, we thank you. Lord, as we listen to your word this morning, we are blessed. I want to hear your amen.
Amen.
We are blessed.
Amen.
We are changed.
Amen.
We are transformed.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Lord, your word goes unhindered, and every demonic force is cleared out of the way in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 So, for the past two services in the month of March, we have been learning about what we call the proper disciple, right?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
There's someone that's supposed to be in this service. Fares. Fares, where are you? Okay. Okay. So, and we said the proper disciple must be born again. Amen.
Amen.
The proper disciple must have a growing passion for the word of God. You know, in Acts chapter 17 from verse 10 to 11, we see the Bible give an account of a certain kind of Christian. They call them the Berean Christian. You can open it. Media, just open it for me so that our people will see what I'm about to say. In Acts 17 from verse 10 to 11, so the sons of God heard that people were coming to kill Paul. So they sent him to Berea. And the Bible was careful to note, in verse 11, it says, and the sons of Berea were more noble. Look at it, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So there were two Christians, but the Bible called a set of those Christians more noble. Are you with me?
Yes,
it said they were more noble than the saints in Thessalonica. And what made the difference? What made them different? He said, in that they received the word of God with readiness of mind. Say after me, readiness of mind. And searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So there was a daily engagement of the word of God. But before that, there was a readiness of mind. See, if you did not get anything from the last two teachings we did on a proper disciple, you must get this one. Say after me, I will receive the word of God with readiness of mind. I want it to be louder. I receive the word of God with readiness of mind. Praise the Lord. So we said the proper disciple must have a growing passion for the word of God. And we said the proper disciple must engage in the building of spiritual strength by exposing his spirit to the presence of God. And we talked about prayer, worship, like what we just did. We said that the way to build your strength in God is by exposing your spirit to God's presence. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And then during the midweek service, we talked about two extra things. We said the proper disciple must embrace sacrifice and must have exemplary devotion. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 12. Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, let no man despise thy youth. Oh, you know what? Let's all read it together so that you're not just watching me. 1, 2, 3, go. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation. Now, conversation talks about lifestyle, right? In word, in conversation. Continue. In charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So, he's saying that you should have, as a proper disciple, your life should become an example to others. Now, people can look at your life and know what purity looks like. They can look at your life and know what faith looks like. They can look at your life and know what their spiritual intensity should look like. That's what he's talking about there, in spirit. They should see your fire in the spirit and know this is what I should look like. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Is it loud enough?
Yes, sir.
But they should increase it, Abby. The media, they said they should increase it too. Hallelujah. And now, from what we just read, in other words, he's saying that if the believer has an exemplary devotion, it must affect every area of their life. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
every area of their life, their family life, their love life, you know, their friendships, the way they interact with people, and then it must also influence their approach to money. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The way some of you are sounding, it's like we should sing more.
Yes, sir.
See, if you leave me, who was around for the last gaze? That all night. All of you would have stayed here till 7 a.m. I promise you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, eh? There is a way you can worship God, eh? You will stay in God's presence to a point where, see, even your enemies will attest God is with you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm telling you. I remember one time I had so prayed and worshipped for hours. I came out. The mistake they now made that day in the university is as if the God plan set me up that day. They just made a mistake. They said the guest minister had not come. The chaplain now said, "Where is that David boy that used to sing?" Say, "Tell him to go and play the keyboard." Blessed. The power of God scattered. They couldn't preach. Conference ended. No preaching again. For the next 4 hours, we were all on the floor. And the Lord began to open his eyes. Say, "Jesus is there. Jesus is walking there. Jesus is here." Because Jesus told me, he said, "Anywhere you sink, I will be there." That's what Jesus said to me. Walk with God, though, is sweet past anything. See, walking with God is sweet past. I don't know what makes you high. I don't know what you call pleasure. I don't know what you call enjoyment. But walking with God is sweet past anything.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And so, if your discipleship doesn't affect your approach towards money and possessions, your discipleship is not complete. Are you with me? If your discipleship doesn't affect your approach towards money and material possessions, your discipleship is not complete. So, the disciple of Jesus Christ, you must find the truth of God on every subject and hold fast to it. Hallelujah. You must find the truth of God on every subject and hold on to it. So, what is then truth? You know, when Pilate was interrogating Jesus, you see this in John chapter 18 from verse 37 to 38. You know, Jesus began to talk to Pilate. He said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I will bear witness of the truth, and everyone who is of the truth heareth me." Are you with me? That's what he said to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "What is truth? What is truth?" Because you see, some people say, "This is my truth." That's your truth. Are you with me?
Yes,
have you not seen people who say, "I'm a realist. I'm just looking for the truth. I don't do all this church stuff. I don't do all this churchy stuff. I'm a realist. I just deal with truth. I deal with facts. I deal with truth." What is truth? Let me give you what truth is. The one of the best definitions of truth you will ever find. You may not find it on Google or ChatGPT. Truth is the meaning of a thing according to the intent of the maker. Let me say that again. Truth is the meaning of a thing according to the intent of the maker. So you want to find out the truth about this microphone? Go and ask the person that made it. He will tell you the truth. According to the intent of the maker. You want to find out the truth about life? Go and find out the one who manufactured life. Are you with me? He will give you the truth about life. And the Bible lets us know in John chapter 1 from verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then in verse 14 it says, "And the Word became flesh, who is Jesus Christ." So if you want to talk about life, the origin of life, you have to ask Jesus. He's the one that began everything. He's the one that has the truth. Are you with me? So if you ask me what is truth, I will tell you that truth is the opinion of Jesus Christ. Anything Jesus says a thing is, that is what truth is. If you ask Jesus, how many fingers do I have? And he tells you six. And you say, no, it's five. By the time you check, you discover it was actually six. You counted wrong. Are you with me? You know, when they say God cannot lie, it's not because... even if... The reason why God cannot lie, or why Jesus cannot lie, even if he tries to lie, that lie has become the new truth. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, sir.
If you are Jesus, look at the way he was talking. Fill the butter pot with water. Draw from the water and go and give the governor. You decrease. But when the truth is telling you, draw from the water. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That's the one you should believe. He said, we have not tasted it. He said, did I ask you to taste it? Draw from it and go and give. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Not a truth. The truth. So what is truth? The opinion of Jesus. Say after me,
truth is
the opinion of Jesus Christ on any matter. Yes, you are coming. Hallelujah. So the church has a responsibility to uphold the opinion of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? You know, 1 Timothy 3 from verse 14 to 15. Paul tells Timothy that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. That person that is born, receive life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You are not distracted. Hey, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I just heard somebody spirit, all these talks, these guys, what is he even saying? Safe. Pay attention. It will bless your soul in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. That means the church has the responsibility from God to uphold the truth. So whatever we find out as Jesus' opinion, our job as the church is to uphold it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He called the church the pillar and the ground of truth. So we lay the ground of truth and at the same time we support the truth.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Are you getting me?
Yes.
So we must reject that temptation to find a common ground with the world. Instead, we must sustain and uphold the truth on all aspects of life. Why am I doing all of this introduction before I go into the subject of money? It's because many times, Jesus will teach you things that will be in contraposition to what the world is saying.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The opinions of Jesus are strange. You know, you don't know what it is like to be a follower of Jesus who, in the day he was. Hey! Yeah. Jesus. You have heard. Jesus will say, you were told by Moses that if you do this, but I say. Jesus was challenging things that Moses... At a point, they asked you are not even up to 50 years. How dare you challenge Moses? He said, before Abraham was, I am. He even said, I was. You know, that's another place to know that Jesus was God. He was saying, you know, when they pick up stones, the exact same response that God gave to Moses at Mount Horeb. That was what Jesus was saying. You know, Moses asked God, who will I say sent me? And God said, tell them I am that I am.
Woo!
Jesus knocked him on the scene and said, you see that person that said I am? It's now me talking. Say, this guy, will they look you since? You, Joseph's son of that carpenter from our backyard. You will say, we say too.
Okay.
Say, no. We need to kill this guy. This guy needs to die. No. This man needs to die. See, praise the Lord. The church will uphold the truth. Satan will uphold the truth of Jesus. And you see, we cannot uphold the truth that we don't know. So we have to see, when you come to church, you have to learn about Jesus, learn what he says. learn what the Bible teaches. So first of all, what is money? See, in the light of everything I've said, on this note, we begin a new teaching series which we've called My God and My Gold. Something, My God and My Gold. It's a long anticipated teaching series. I know you have been asking, what does the Bible say about tithes? What does the Bible say about giving? What does the Bible say about money? They are dragging the church every day about money online. Don't worry. In this teaching series, all your questions will be answered. Are you with me? So, first of all, what is money? Money is nothing more than a pledge of assets, a means of payment, or a medium of exchange. Money is nothing more than a pledge of assets, a means of payment, or a medium of exchange. You see, money in and of itself is not wealth. It just represents wealth. Money represents possessions, represents riches. God forbid, again, if anything happens and they say all the cash with you is now null and void, like they did in 2023. I was so angry. We saw Shaggy. Going to change. Now you have to pay 1,000 for 5,000. POS people, may God forgive you. Amen. Some people cannot relate. Some people in the diaspora and people in other national crimes, they don't know what we're talking about. They just said that the 1,000 naira we're using is no longer valuable. That you have to change to new money. Eventually, they now allow the old money and the new money. Now we have 1,000 naira notes. God have mercy upon us. So, if they say your money is no longer useful, it doesn't represent anything again. It has become normal paper. So, money in and of itself, that paper is not wealth. It represents what it can get. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When you have 1,000 naira in your pocket, you are not just thinking about 1,000. You are thinking about what it can do. When it increases to 10,000 naira, are you with me? You are thinking about what 10,000 can do. It can buy at least 2 shawarma. Are you with me? But you may not buy 1 pizza. So, money represents possessions, represents riches. So, whenever we talk about money in this teaching, we're just talking about possessions and riches. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You know, I want to ask you a question. Sincerely, do you think, have you, many of you have thought about the fact that churches talk about money a lot? Raise your hand. Don't worry. I see, I don't judge. And they will not raise their hands now. Money, 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 money. But do you realize that in the Bible, the Bible spoke about money more than anything. Especially Jesus. There are more texts and there are more verses on money than there are on prayer. There are more verses on money than there are on heaven and hell. There are more verses on money than there are on faith. I know you may be hearing this for the first time. You may not have noticed it, but I'm telling you, I can give you I've checked the entire Bible. There are 2,350 verses on money. How many? 2,350 texts on money. That's a lot. Are you with me? That's a lot. So the question I want to ask is, why is God talking a lot about money? Why is he saying so much about it? I know that the large mainstream church in many circles talk about money, but the question is, it's not about how frequent you're talking about money. Are you saying what the Bible said about money? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Because there are things I'm going to share with you that you may never have heard before, that the Bible talked about money in this teaching series. When I began to study this about 3-4 years ago, I was surprised. I am telling you. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And I found out that there is a biblical way to look at these things. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to begin this series by unpacking Jesus' first sermon on money. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
One of the signs that you are in a good church is that as the years go by, your knowledge of the word of God becomes deeper. Are you with me? So why does God say so much about money? It is because our approach to money, or better put, possessions, say a lot about who we are. How we handle money represents much more than we even realize. A man called Richard Havelson said, money is the exact index of a man's true character. Somebody said, you don't know a person's character until you have either married them, borrowed them money, or given them unlimited power. Did you hear what I said? So let's unpack Jesus' first sermon on money. Matthew 6, verse 19. Thank you, Lord. Say after me, I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
Matthew 6, verse 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. You know what? Everybody read with me from verse 20. 1, 2, 3, go. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your everybody go on. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Some of you are not reading. Continue. Verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, with a loud voice now. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and Mammon. Mammon is the spiritual principality that represents possessions. You know when people say money in a spirit? They're actually talking about Mammon. So what can we learn from Jesus' first teaching on money? Number one, what you do with money has eternal consequences. It has spiritual consequences. He says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 22. Verse 20, please. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. What is he talking about here? Heaven? Treasures in heaven? What currency is used in heaven? Is it dollar? Is it pound? Is it naira? Is it Ghana cedis? Or Gambian Delcy? Am I correct? What currency is used in heaven? How can you tell me that I can transfer money from the earth and it will enter an account in heaven? Please, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
How will the transfer work? What app will I use? Will I use LemFi or Lemonade or Fincra? Okay, I know I can transfer money from Nigeria to France or from France to Nigeria, but how will I transfer treasure from the earth to go into the heavens? How? He's telling you it's possible. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
He's telling you it is possible that there is a way you can use resources on the earth and it can be credited to somewhere in the spirit. Are you following me?
Yes,
he's telling you that money is not just paper. Possessions not just paper. There is a way you can use resources. It will affect the spirit realm. Don't worry, we'll talk about this later in a teaching called stewardship. Money, the gospel, and eternity. That one, I'll go deeper into it. But have it at the back of your mind. What you do with money has eternal consequences. Are you with me? That's teaching number one. And then he was encouraging you to lay up treasures there, because if you put your money in the Nigerian bank, you can send 5K, then check, you're actually 4.9. See, that thing is annoying. I don't get it. How can you transfer 10,000 to someone and the person now receives 9,500 or 9,000? Like, what happened? What happened? Some things break through a stall. And then at the moment, SMS alert. How many transfers did I do? Then you say account maintenance. Like, is there a room you are washing the account? He's telling you on this earth, there are all kinds of explanations for them to thief. Hallelujah. The then in verse 21, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hey! For where your treasure is, I can preach a whole sermon on that line. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen, we can know the direction of your heart by the direction of your money. We can know where your heart is going by where your money is going. Are you following me? For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. This is why, no matter how you want to explain, I know there are people who have bastardized the doctrine of giving in the church. They have used it to manipulate people and do wrong things. But let me tell you something. If your heart is truly with God, your money will follow. No. You cannot be Lord of your life and not Lord of your money. It's not possible. If your heart is truly with God, don't even go far. If you truly like somebody, you will. Your money will follow. You will give. Are you with me? Are you with me? If you truly like that girl, you will give that girl. No matter how broke or broken you are, if you like her, you will give. You know what it means to be broken? It's a higher level from broke. You know, when the Bible talks about Jesus in Matthew 4, after he fasted, the Bible says, after 40 days and nights, he was unhungered. Not he was hungry. There are levels to this thing. My God. Are you with me? Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. I don't know who I'm talking to. If you like that girl, give her a gift. Give. I know why. Today is National Women's Day, right? All the brothers, you have one assignment. Give a lady a gift today. Happy Women International Women's Day. You are blessed. You are favored. You fulfill your destiny. All the ladies in this house, you fulfill your destiny. In Jesus' name. For those who are not married, you will marry well. I want to hear the sister say, I said you will marry well. You will not marry the weapon fashioned against you. Amen. Where your heart is, your treasure will be also. You cannot claim that your heart is with the Lord and your money does not follow. See, when you study the Bible, once again, I am not trying to support those that stretch a truth into a lie and bastardize the doctrine of giving. But let me tell you something. In the Bible, when the Bible was talking about walking with God by faith in Hebrews chapter 11, the very first example of faith he gave was a man of sacrifice. Read it, Hebrews 11. He talks about by faith the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we understand that the world is framed by the word of God. The elders obtained a good report through faith. I've just quoted verse 1, 2, and 3. Then verse 4. He says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You cannot claim to have faith in God without your sacrifice following. Are you with me? Are you with me? See, we can check your resources, the use of your resources, and know where your heart is towards God. Let me give you a very good example. How much is a cinema ticket now? If you want to watch a movie in a cinema. Some people say 14. 10,000. But 10,000 naira, right? How much is a good shawarma now? 3-5K. Actually, okay, 3-5. There are some places that are good but not so expensive. That's there are some places that are good but not so expensive. And you can say 3-5. Do you know that if someone gives 3-5 for a Sunday service offering, he can be bragging, "I gave the Lord, I gave a very good offering today." If somebody gives 10,000 naira on a Sunday morning, he can brag, "I gave God an offering today." But if he goes and tells his friend, "Actually, I spent 10,000 for a cinema ticket," "Kai, that money, eh?" The person will be like, "It's normal now. It's not a big deal. You watch the movie, nice movie, see 10,000. You see it? When it comes to God, somehow, somewhere in our mind, we feel like, "I am literally flattering God to give him 10,000 naira offering." But for a cinema movie, for a ticket to the cinema, is that's how we roll. Does that not tell you that subconsciously, this generation, there is a way we have put God that is reflecting our finances? I have never seen anybody come online to criticize a comedian or a music artist for putting VIP tickets, 2.5 million. You know, some years ago, Dirty December in Lagos, Asake was tickets, people were paying 1 million to stand. Like, and guess what? It was packed out. He sold tickets. He announced, "I cannot sell again. I have finished." Nobody came to rant online that, how will he charge? I think they charge 3 million for table, 2.5 for VIP, and then 1 million to stand. And it was packed out. Nobody complained online. Let the church just put a video online. If you want to give towards the church project, if you can give 2.5 million, come out. You will not hear the last of it. Insta blog will say, "They are all thieves." And you see, we want to have a crusade. By the way, we're having a crusade in April. Amen. Yay! We want to have a crusade. Can people give 2.5? They will drag you like this, eh? They will drag you on Twitter, drag you. In fact, every day they are dragging pastors about money. Some of them rightly so, some of them unnecessary. It just proves truly where is our heart. As a generation, where is our heart? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's why giving is a proof of worship. You are saying, "The money with me is not enough, but I worship you with my money." That you are, my money is not my source. You are my source. Are you with me? Yes, sir. It's a proof of worship. That's why I also want to say this. If somebody ever gives you money in life, please don't take the person for granted. Tell the person a good thank you. Because when somebody is giving you, when somebody can break free with money, no matter how small to give you, don't calculate it based on how much the person has. Calculate it on the ability for him to release from the abundance he has. Do you know there are people that can have a lot and not give? I have come to discover that what makes a person a giver is not how much he has, but how much he can release. Are you with me? When somebody gives to you, appreciate the person. Because he's giving you something that is very serious, according to the Bible. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Seven, my heart is with the Lord.
My heart is in the Lord.
And it will reflect in my resources. So that's the second thing we can draw from Jesus' first teaching on money. That one, eh? That's why sometimes God will be asking you to give. He just wants to test where is your heart. He wants to prove where is your heart. He will just tell Abraham, "Give me your son, thy only son, the one you love." He knows. Ishmael easy now, but maybe he died. Ishmael is easy. You know, this year in January, people called me and said, Pastor, we did not ask for first fruit sacrifice. I said, I prayed. God did not say we should move. As I was preparing for this, and I was happy because anytime I want to call for giving a sacrifice, it's not easy for the pastor too. Because I know me, I don't like wahala. I don't want dragging. I don't. So the book called me and said, Pastor, why we not give you sacrifice? I said, Baba, no talk. If you want to give, give. If you don't want to give, just give your normal offerings and tithe. That's fine. At least I was happy. I was praying, preparing for this sermon. Lord said, then you are announced to them. At the end of March, everybody will sacrifice. I said, hey. I said, Lord, I will do your will. But if your heart is with the Lord, it's not be a struggle. Then it says in verse 22, and this is where God, please pay attention. Verse 22, it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Then it says in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Do you know that for years, whenever we have quoted the scripture, the light of the body is the eye, we have not connected it to money. We connected it to, in the church, we connected it to walking in holiness. If your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. If your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. But in the context in which Jesus used it, it was talking about money. So what did he really mean that the light of the body is the eye? If the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if the light that is indeed be darkness, how great shall that darkness be? He was talking about the fact that what he really wanted to say is you cannot serve God and mammon. If your eye is single on God, are you with me? It will reflect in your resources and your body will be full of light. Your life will be full of light. And it will reflect in how you use your resources towards God. But if your eye is evil, yes, sir. Are you following me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If your eye is evil, you will be thinking that you can serve God, you can give God and money the same place in your life. Unknowing to you, it cannot work. So what will happen is that you will now begin to use God to serve money. Oh, Jesus. You will now begin to use God to serve money, and you will think you are in light, but it has become darkness. How great can that darkness be? These are people who, they have gotten to the point where the reason for their entire life is money. So, the reason why they are praying, the reason why they are in church, the reason for everything they are doing with God is for money. The day money does not show up the way they expect it to show up, their real God will show up. Please, are you with me? This is Jesus' teaching. And then he now drops the bombshell. He says, no man can serve two masters. You will either love one or hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He is telling you that money can command human worship. That God's competitor is not even Satan. That Satan is not as strong a competitor as money. He did not say you cannot serve God and Satan.
Yes,
what he said is you cannot serve God and mammon. Meaning, oh my God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He said on a normal day, nobody with the right senses can will say, I want to go and serve Satan. But when money comes into the picture, they may consider it. Am I talking to you?
Yes, sir.
You know, a great man called Roger L. Strange. He said, he that serves God for money will serve the devil for better wages. That is why it was unthinkable for the devil to come to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and say, bow down to me. He knew he cannot talk to Jesus and say, bow down to me. So this is what he did. He said, bow down and worship me, and I will give you all these kingdoms and thrones and possessions. And are you with me? He knew that on a normal day, he has no... He cannot offer himself to be worshipped. But if he can put money as a reason to worship, people will worship him because they are worshipping money. Am I talking to you?
Yes,
this is CA. Let me tell you something. I'm not trying to get at you. Everything I'm saying, I'm not trying to get at you. I am just preaching Bible. This is Bible. This is Jesus' teaching. Now you see it's not common, right? It can command human worship. It can command worship. Oh God. I can go. I don't want to go so deep into it, but because of our time. Do you know that people, God will tell them, do this. But money will tell them, do another thing. And they will listen to money. Let's not go far. All of us, you have been there. You are doing a job. You know this job, God does not approve of it. Are you with me? But now, it is difficult to leave it because of the money you are getting. Years ago, I had a situation. There was a young guy who was working for his madam. And part of, he was in the house. If you see him in the house, in the big house, he looks like just somebody that helps wash his car, does errands, helps to cook. But he was actually the madam's boyfriend. She sleeps with him 2-3 weeks. Every 2-3 times every week. She was down. My mouth is too heavy to see. So when it was, he came for one of our services and he had to leave. The word of God came. The conviction was strong. He said, but if I leave, how? Where will I get money from? You see now? He's struggling to obey God because money is the new God. Are you with me? So you want to ask yourself, who do I really worship? Many of us, unknowingly, we will be worshiping mammon and not know. And this is what was in a shadow, acted in the story that happened in the wilderness. Remember, when the Israelites left Egypt and got to the wilderness, they got to a point where God now wanted to institute them as a nation unto him. And he told Moses, go up to the mountain and stay with me and receive the commandments. They began to wait for Moses at the base of the mountain. Moses was taking time. And when they could no longer wait, they grew impatient. They told Aaron, please, we don't know what has happened to Moses. Please make us a god. And Aaron took of their gold. They offered their gold. And Aaron melted the gold together and built for them a molten calf. You will see this in Exodus chapter 32 from verse 1 to 6. And guess what they now began to say? They now said, this golden calf is the gods that brought us out of Egypt. Please, are you with me? They began to worship the molten calf or the calf of gold. Yes, sir. Are you following this?
Yes, sir.
They began to worship that calf of gold and ascribe to him the honor that belongs only to God. That was a clear picture of how gold can replace God if given the chance. How that gold can compete with God in the heart of man. Especially when it looks like God is not acting the way you expect. You see, God and material possessions present itself as a better option to worship. Because now, with money, you have immediate satisfaction. You have immediate security. You have immediate assurance. Are you with me? But when you are following God, many times, God will move beyond your human logic.
Yes, sir.
And now you have to walk by faith if you are truly following God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It's not too much for you. See after me, I can get it. See after me, I get it. Do you get it?
I get it, sir.
Okay. Now, when we talk like this, people say, we are talking like that because you don't believe in prosperity. Why will you be talking like this? Do you remember? The gold that they used to make the molten calf, it was God that gave them. When they were in Egypt and about to leave Egypt, Genesis, Exodus chapter 12 from verse 35-36, God said, I will give you favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and you will not go empty-handed. And the Bible says they collected gold, they collected raiment from the Egyptians. In fact, old King James says they borrowed them. But how will you borrow something to someone that's going to cross the Red Sea? Which day will he pay back? He will never pay back. So the Egyptians were under supernatural command to sow seed into the Israelites.
Yes,
so it was the God that God gave them that they eventually turned to a God in the wilderness and they began to worship. Because on their own, they could not have gotten the gold. They were slaves. Am I talking to you?
Yes, sir.
You know, when you get to a point where you begin to draw your self-worth from the money that God blessed you with, not God. They began to say, this is the God. They began to point to the God, that this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. They began to worship it. So, God is not against you having money. Of course, from what I just told you, it proves that God can actually make a man prosperous, right?
Yes, sir.
And we'll get to that. God is not against you having money, but God is against money having you.
Yes, sir.
God is against you getting to the point where you begin to ascribe to the creature worship that belongs to the creator.
Yes, sir.
Possessions, is it not the one that made it? You begin to ascribe to the gift what belongs to the giver. That means I worship God, not money, not material possessions. And that subtle way it can happen is where you begin to all your self-worth. The day your account is full, you feel like, now, every small thing, do you know who I am? With that miserable 2M where they your account. Your account. Do you know who I am? You'll be walking with shoulder pad. The day the wallet is, the day the bar is low, your shoulder pad comes down. Can't hide it. I just a survivor. God, they keep spirit and soul together. The day you have plenty, you are happy. The day you have small, you are not happy. But the Bible says in Luke 12, verse 15, it says, beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Please, are you with me?
Yes,
a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. My life does not consist in my bank account. My life does not consist in my car. My life does not consist. Are you with me? My life consists in God.
I
thought you'd be talking of, you'll be repeating what I'm saying. Some of you just be, you know, that is proof that faith has not even risen in your heart. You calculate your future based on your financial status by who you, no. My future is secured in God, not in my account. Are you with me? My future is secured in the one who can make a way in the desert. He can make rivers in the wilderness. Are you with me?
Yes,
ask your neighbor, do you really worship God? Is your trust really in God? Or your trust is in your pocket? Please, if what I'm sharing with you offends you, that's not the plan. If you are bored, that was not the plan. I came here to feed you with the word of Jesus. Let me tell you something. Even if you vex and run, say that church, the light Bible, you will come and find me later. You know, years ago, I made up my mind, I will not be the kind of pastor that people give up on when they want to be serious with God. You get it now. I don't want to be the pastor people give up on when they want to be serious with God. I had a friend years ago, we had a quarrel, serious issue. Leave that one. She got angry. She wants to attend our church then. Or we used to visit. Let me put it like that. And say she's going. One day, matter hold her like this. Spiritual matter hold her. I saw her call 11:30 p.m. Pastor David, please, I need prayer. There are strange beings moving in my room. I said, I tried to talk to, she called a certain pastor. He said, you know those pastors? You can acquire to aspire to fire, you know, motivational. He said he was just saying, no, it's just your mind. You are just hallucinating, you know. you are just going through the motions, you know. This place you just moved into. Maybe your body has not really settled. He said, sir, you don't know. I said, they see things, they walk for my room. Say, Pastor David, pray. I need you to speak a word now. We didn't reconcile. That was the reconciliation. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Money can command human worship. So as a round of, you can smell that this series, there is a lot in it, right?
Yes,
you know, another part of this story is that, do you realize that it was the people that put pressure on Aaron and said, this Moses, we don't know what has become of him. Make unto us a God that we will worship. As a pastor, you can fall into the temptation where people want, they want to elevate their needs above everything. And then subconsciously begin to worship gold instead of God. So now the pastor came under pressure and now presented God as the new God. It has happened today in our church. Oh. Not this church, but in the body of Christ generally.
Yes,
are you with me? In fact, later when I talk about the prosperity gospel, the excesses of what we call prosperity gospel. Now, there are some places. Eh? Just have enough money, you are a pastor.
Yes, sir.
You don't need to know God.
Yes.
They are dangerous seed. That's a seed we sow that will change the seed. Oh my God. Do I believe in seed sowing? Of course, we are going to sacrifice this much. But there are biblical injunctions that must not be lost. Are you with me?
Yes,
remember, this is the apostolic year. We are teaching like the apostles.
Yes, sir.
I want to see one.
I can never follow a poor pastor. I can never follow a poor pastor.
Good. That means you will not follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. Psalm 62. My life consists in God.
My life consists in God.
I want to believe that I communicated properly. So nobody is living here thinking, Pastor David does not even believe in prosperity. But it's not true. If you say that, it's not true. Without prosperity, you will not be here. And without prosperity, let me tell you. The angel of prosperity is in this commission. No? If you don't know it, now know it. Go and find out. Just be, if you are really serious, start checking what's the mic that he's using to preach. How much is it? Go and check it. Go and check how much is given. Go and, when you do the calculation, come back and tell me. Go for how much is this screen? Go and check. When you hear million. God, I trust you. My eyes are on you. Psalm 62 from verse 10. Oh, Jesus, thank you. He says, trust not in oppression. Trust not in oppression. You know what, everybody, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go.
Trust not in oppression and become not
the vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Continue. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard. See, these were scriptures I learned early. Nobody can, you cannot oppress me with money. You cannot say, no, power belongs to God, not to you, sir. He says, trust not in oppression. He's talking to many of, see, this is the actual preparation you need to handle wealth. So that when God increases you, you will not be going around saying, do you know who I am? You will not be trying to oppress people. He says, power belongs to God, though. If riches increase, don't put your trust in it. Are you with me? Don't be bragging. In fact, James, the book of James, he says, don't even say, tomorrow I will buy this, I will buy this, I will go to this city.
Yes,
he said, what is your life? It's like a vapor that appears there and disappears tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Oh my God.
Yes, sir.
Wealthy people can pass on and you'll be wondering what happened. One of the recent deaths that has pinned me to my bone. Herbert, Access Bank. He pained me because I knew him. I knew the family. Just like that. Just like that. You just completed one of the finest mansions in Lagos. You have not packed in. You go. Please, as I'm talking, listen. Listen. Better worship God. Are you with me? Better put your trust in God. Please, put it on the screen again. Everybody will read it. 1, 2, 3, go. Psalms chapter 62, verse 10 to 11. 1, 2, 3, go. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God. Certainly, power belongs to God. It says, if riches increase, don't set your heart upon it. He's using the same language he uses for God. He says, if you have been risen with Christ, set your affections on things above. Colossians 3, right? The same language is using that a man should use towards God. A person can actually set his heart upon riches. It can command your worship. It can distract you from God. See, money is a good servant but a very bad master. Meaning you can use it to achieve the purposes of God for your life, which is very important. You can use it to achieve great things. It's a very good servant, but when you make it your master, it becomes a very bad master. Have you seen people who are so wealthy, but they are in prison to their wealth? They are so wealthy, they cannot use the wealth to do anything. They don't want the money to reduce from 1 million to 999,000. So they will not transfer. Something they can buy. Oh yeah, buy the thing and eat now and enjoy. No. I am saving the money. Is it important to save? Yes. Is it important to invest? Yes, we'll get to that. Is it important to plan? Yes. But know when you have become a slave to your own money. Akanchi Aradite. Akanchi. A boy is hawking something on the road. You bought something from him. Big man, you are driving Range Rover. Your change is 50 naira. The boy is running to catch up with you. He said, you must give my change. I'm a principled man. I'm a principled man. I must collect my change. What? In your account, there is 10 million, 15 million. Something you say, excuse me, what do you do? How can I help you? Have you gone to school? Where are your parents? But no, I'm a principled man. You're a principled man with Range Rover. They drag 100 naira change. You have become a slave to money. Are you with me? Yes, after me, I worship God. I set my heart on God, not on riches. My God will supply my needs. I put my heart on the Lord. Can you jump on your feet and begin to worship God? Let's worship God. If God is truly your source and is the one that holds your destiny, can you begin to just worship Him? I'll give you 2-3 minutes to just worship the Lord. Raise your hands and worship God. And if I offended you with this sermon, we'll reconcile later.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem. Raise your hands. Blessed be the name. Be the name. Baruch Hashem Adonai.